Buckle up at the tip and one by the Cavaliers, and we
are underway.
Now it's Mitchell. Mitchell twirls between two of the Hawks. Oh, what a dandy of a move. Sam Merrill. Oh, wow.
Angles off an Allen screen. Steps back for three. Hey, nailed it. Mobley through track to the basket. Oh, my.
Mitchell just crossed over Holiday. His three is perfect. Oh, mercy.
Welcome to another edition of the It's Cavalier podcast. It's your boy, Mac. And tonight, our Cleveland Cavaliers took on the Dallas Mavericks, who were without some big, big names. No Luka Doncic, and sadly, no Kyrie Irving. And while I do believe that it sucks that the Cavs didn't get an opportunity to face them, because I'm all about facing teams at their best, right? So there's nothing that can be said about playing injured teams. But hey, I am perfectly okay with the Cavs not having to figure out how to contain or handle both of those guys, which they're just great players, right? That said, it is always, always, always important to take your opponent seriously, no matter who is suiting up opposite you. The Cavaliers did that, and now they have become the 11th team in NBA history to start a season 30-4 or better. They just completed a road sweep. They won their 9th in a row. They're 13 of their last 14. They are 10-0, a perfect record against the West. The first team to 30 wins. They're the best team. It's no secret. At least that is how I feel, right? I'm at a place right now where I just don't know what else can be said. I feel like a broken record every time I go live here, every time I stream. I'm screaming it from the rooftops. This is the best team in basketball. They can beat you in a multitude of ways. And tonight, you got to see that firsthand with an Evan Mobley domination. Now, we all know in order for this Cavaliers team to reach their apex, the place where they're trying to go, the NBA Finals, to win another damn championship, Evan Mobley has to bring his A game. And so far, so good this season. The Kenny Atkinson effect is doing wonders for him. This has just been a phenomenal start to the season, and Evan Mobley powered the Cavaliers home tonight. And might I add, the 2024-25 iteration of this team has been very, very good at handling possible trap games. And this, in my opinion, certainly qualifies as that. And that did not change, right? Tonight, as they won their 30th game of the season, behind that strong performance from Evan Mobley and a few other Cavaliers, starters and reserves alike. And the Mavericks entered tonight 7-5 in games without Luka Doncic, just 1-3 in games without Kyrie, and 0-2 when both do not play. Well, you can add another L onto each of those, which we love, right? At the expense of these guys. The Mavericks, they got Derek Lively back tonight after he had a 3-game absence. He drew the start alongside a lineup of Quentin Grimes. You heard that right. Klay Thompson, you also heard that right. It's his first season in Dallas. Spencer Dinwiddie, who has literally had like three fucking different tenures with the Mavericks, if I'm not mistaken, and PJ Washington, who came over from Washington, if I'm not mistaken, last year. It was a big pickup for them, along with Daniel Gafford. It is their Maybe I'm tripping. Was PJ Washington from Charlotte? I'm out there right now. It's their 17th different starting lineup, which is crazy. Kind of sounds like last season's Cavs with all the injuries that we dealt with, to Garland, Mobley, Allen, Isaac, just everybody. Everybody was a little bit injured last year. And I had a feeling this one would be entertaining and fun, no doubt about it. It was. The first quarter got off to somewhat of a slow start until the Cavs went on a 15-0 run to close out of the quarter. And then the Cavs absolutely turned on the afterburners, outscoring the Mavericks 37-32, and behind a strong second quarter from Evan Mobley, who would score 18 fucking points in the second quarter. Let that sink in. Cue the meme. This dude would score 18 of his points in the second quarter alone. I remain astounded by some of what we see from this Cavaliers team night in and night out. As you see Dean Wade drill a triple there, if you're watching via audio. Man, Mobley, you know, he just, there's just not enough that I can say to do this team justice. They just have weapons all over. You see Donovan Mitchell doing this and doing that. Jared Allen finishing strong at the rim. I just put out a piece of content on Jared Allen. You should check it out if you haven't, by the way. It's about how important he is to this fucking team. And you showed that tonight, although he picked up some early foul trouble and didn't play his normal complement of minutes. Jared finishes 22. Look at that big-ass yam right there. This dude is just playing as confident as ever. And then you got LeVert just pulling up. And for those of you who don't know, LeVert has been absolutely money when pulling up from beyond the three-point line. And speaking of the devil himself, Evan Mobley drilling one of his three triples on the night. Key thing about Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley has now drilled three or more triples in five games this season. I mean, it was his fifth game of the season doing that. And it probably even more important that it was his 15th time of the season attempting three or more triples in a game. To me, that is important because the volume is increasing. It's not like he's taking one or two a game. This dude is literally pulling like three, four, five times now, which is absolutely necessary when you're talking about spacing concerns between the likes of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley in your front court. One of them had to become a spacer, and Mobley has turned into that along with the devastating slashing and rim running that he does. It's just the whole package. You even saw him knock down some mid-range jumpers. Oh my God, this Dean Wade dunk. Dean Wade was just on another one with that dunk, man. You just saw so much out of this team. The Dean Wade dunk was awesome, by the way. But yeah, there's just some of the highlights that this Cavaliers team gave us tonight. And I'm just shouting it from the rooftops. I don't know. I really do not know what the flaw in this Cavs team is on a night in and night out basis. Obviously, we know we still have some holes in the roster. We need a backup big badly in the minutes where Jared is or Evan is in foul trouble, and you can't necessarily lean on Dean Wade or George Niang to play minutes at the five long term. So you still need that, and you still would like to have a taller three or four out there, right, off your bench. But as long as these guys stay healthy, especially Dean, I feel good. The Cavaliers do not have many flaws, as you see Caris LeVert right there with the acrobatic finish. They just did a lot of shit tonight, guys. It was all fun and games. It was all fun and games for this team, and especially within the likes of the front court between Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, who combined for 45 points. 45 fucking points from your front court duo of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. It's just crazy to me because even in a game where Donovan Mitchell scores just 15 points and where Darius Garland 16 himself, you didn't really need big-time production from your backcourt duo who should both be in the All-Star game, although Darius might be a bit of a battle for him. As you guys saw, the first returns where Evan, I believe, was 10th in the front court standings and Mitchell was second behind, I want to say, LaMelo Ball. And then in the backcourt, like, why is Jordan Poole? Why is Jordan Poole there? I'm not even going to get started on the All-Star returns because it shit just pisses me off every single time I see it. But man, oh man, it's become just such a convoluted popularity contest in most regards. And you cannot trust NBA fans to vote the players in who deserve to be there the most, because you can make a claim right now that with the way that this team has played, they need four All-Stars. They need to do some shit like the Golden State Warriors or Atlanta Hawks and send four of these dudes. And we have to hope that the Cavaliers will get the benefit of the doubt from the coaches and get at least three in, right? We know Donovan should be a lock. Evan, hopefully he gets in. But, man, it would be really nice for the coaches to pick up slack and get Darius in there too. But, yeah, this team, with the way that they played, they deserve to have more than just two All-Stars. It's just crazy. Let's hop into the chat. Dr. Claw, what's up, man? Says, refs tried to job the bigs again. Yes, I mean, Jared Allen, Jared Allen, especially with the amount of calls that were given out to him. Dean Wade picked up 5 fouls. I mean, ref ball. You got to love it. It is definitely crazy. And then Evan Mobley had 3 himself. And it does often feel like this team is on the opposite end of the whistle, as they attempted 20 free throws to Dallas's 30. And there was a huge discrepancy in the first half and the second half. But I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter. The Cavaliers still find ways to get over that. And a lot of it is on the strength of what they have done best this season. And that is just absolutely bury teams from beyond the 3-point line. And tonight was no different. Another 15 triples drilled tonight on 40 attempts. They're up in the attempts. You're seeing that increase. They're on pace to, I believe, set an NBA record for the amount of attempts and the efficiency of which they're knocking them down on this season. Now, will they sustain it? I'm not sure, because they don't take the most triples in the NBA, but what they do is they knock down the most. These guys are hella efficient at drilling that shot. They are just an absolute problem when doing so. They are on pace to become the first team in NBA history to shoot above 40% on 40-plus attempts per game. Will they do it? I don't know. But this is special. What we are seeing from this team is special. And I just hope that each and every one of you guys out there can enjoy the moment. We know there can be conversations had about whether or not this is sustainable in the playoffs. And I do tend to believe that it is. But that said, I fail to see the relevancy in strictly just looking ahead all the way into the postseason. Enjoy the moment, because what we are seeing has truly been special from this team. There's not a lot to complain about, if anything at all. Cavaliers only turned the ball over 7 times tonight to Dallas's 12. They dished out 38 assists, so the ball was moving like crazy tonight. I mean, 46 rebounds ain't bad, but you got to give it to Dallas. Hats off, because they were working on the offensive glass. 21 offensive rebounds for Dallas tonight, and it was a big reason why they kind of had that jolt in that fourth quarter, or at least the early portion of fourth and the third, right, as they were trying to claw and scratch their way back into the game. But Cavaliers eventually put it away and it gave way to some of the reserves that we've been dying to see. Guys like Jalen Tyson, the Cavaliers' 20th overall pick this season. JT Thor, a player that I think could develop into the backup 4 or 5 that the team could desperately use if given real minutes. And, you know, Tristan Thompson, the veteran, you know, the veteran in the locker room, the championship ring that he brings to the table and that championship experience. And then Craig Porter Jr., a man who has basically been rendered an afterthought because of the emergence of Ty Jerome in the rotation. And that's crazy to me. I mean, not to go off topic here, but that is so damn crazy to me that this team is so fucking stacked now that a man who deserved to be in the rotation at times last year can't find a minute, right? This dude cannot find a minute in the rotation because this team is so deep, especially within that guard rotation. When you have Donnie, you got Darius, you got Ty now, you have Karis. You know, Strus will give you minutes at the 2 at times. Sam Merrill, you know, when he's healthy, will do his thing. There's just so many different mouths to feed. This team is so jacked offensively that you look at a productive player like Craig Porter Jr., who, you know, still has his flaws, no lie, but he is a very serviceable player at this, you know, only his second season in the league. It's crazy that he can't 5 minutes. But that just goes to show you the insane depth that they have. And they didn't even have Isaac Okoro available. He's been out for the last 2+ weeks. And hopefully we get to see him return to the court soon. And that just adds to the depth here. And that all the conversations swirling around what the Cavaliers are going to do in regards to the rotation. When he gets healthy, I do not envy Kenny Atkinson. And I know that a lot of that with the trade deadline, you know, approaching next month, there's going to be some decisions made, and a lot of them will be monetary, obviously, but it could affect the rotation. So we will see how things shake out with that. But tonight's game was just another reminder of how the Cavaliers can absolutely bludgeon you to death from beyond the 3-point line. They can just hand it off to a player like Evan Mobley and let him tee off on you. it was just absolute mastery and wizardry from Kenny Atkinson. He had an ATO, if I'm not mistaken, an ATO to Caris LeVert around the midway point of the fourth quarter that was absolutely beautiful. How many times, I don't have the clip, but how many times did we scream and beg to see JB Bickerstaff do things like that? And it's not like it was a it's not like it was a game defining play or anything like that. And it did halt a Mavericks run. I'll give them that, right? It did, because they were starting to gain a little steam. It did kind of just halt that run, halted momentum. But the ATO itself was pure brilliance. As JaQuest says down here, it was flawless. And, you know, those two together, right? Caris LeVert and Kenny Atkinson go together like lamb and tuna fish. If you don't get that, get out. But I just, I'm at a point right now where I never felt as if Caris LeVert would be returning when the season began, right? When the season began, I felt like this was going to be Caris's last year here. And not because of anything Caris had done, but I believe that, you know, what he has shown this season, not only from cutting out some of the bad parts of his game, right? The mid-range pull-ups that were a staple of Caris LeVert for years have been basically nixed. You'll see it every now and again. I think he did it tonight, but it was a solid look. He had his man beat. He just couldn't knock down a shot. But more often than not, it is a layup or a cut to the basket or a triple. That's basically it. It's been essentially streamlined. And then he's providing stellar defense. He's in the top five in terms of defensive field goal percentage, right? This just, it lends credence to the idea that Kenny Atkinson is like the best thing that could have ever happened to a player like Caris LeVert, because now two of his best seasons have come with Kenny Atkinson at the helm, one with Brooklyn and now 1 year later with both of them being in Cleveland now. So it's just phenomenal. And I hope now I've gone from understanding or at least coming to peace with the fact that Caris LeVert will be traded to the idea that, hell, the Cavaliers probably are going to end up retaining him. And, you know, I just did not see that happening to begin the season, because I thought, you know, with the tax concerns, with some of the faces that are waiting for minutes, you know, in the wings like a Jalen Tyson, I think we were all kind of hoping that Jalen would be given an opportunity to crack the rotation, at least at the end of the rotation. But these Cavaliers veterans, right? Ty Jerome, and I'll qualify him as a veteran. The emergence of him, you know, Sam Merrill, maybe not necessarily the sharp shooter that we have seen last year, but he's still very, very impactful. George Niang playing probably the most impactful minutes of his career. And Caris LeVert being what he has been this season, it just makes finding minutes for these young guys basically impossible. And I just did not think we were going to be at this point this quickly, right? We're 34 games in, and the Cavaliers are 30-4. And people still don't completely respect the Cavaliers. They still will tell you that Boston would beat them in a seven-game series. They still would tell you that New York, of all fucking teams, would beat them in a seven-game series. There's just no end to that shit. And I know tonight's win is not, especially over Luka and Kyrie-less Mavericks team, is not the type of win to beat the table, you know, pound the table over, but it's another step in the right direction. The Cavaliers, again, are a perfect 10-0 against the Western Conference. They have won 9 straight. They have won 13 of their last 14, and they just completed a road sweep. There's just not much else that I can say that would do this, you know, this team justice. It's just been a special start. And I think that they can keep it right on rolling as the Cavaliers will face a, you know, another difficult opponent next Wednesday. They'll face the Charlotte Hornets on Sunday, and then they'll take on a very difficult opponent in the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, if I'm not mistaken, just did battle with the New York Knicks tonight and emerged victorious. If memory serves me correctly. But yes, That is the next big test. They got Charlotte, which hopefully they will not overlook. And again, they have been pretty damn good at not overlooking trap games. It's this Charlotte team is 7-26, I believe. But OKC is the one that's on the board. That's the one that teams around the NBA are going to be watching and, you know, scouting, right? OKC versus Cleveland is going to be money. And that one should be a good one because it's on ESPN. About damn time this team was on a national stage once more. And after the season that they have had so far, you'd have to believe that you're probably going to see them get a hell of a lot more national coverage towards the end of the season and next season with the way that they play. Just been phenomenal. Very, very impressed with this Cavaliers team, both on the team basis and at the individual level with some of the performances that we have seen. You know, Evan Mobley, again, was awesome tonight. Dean Wade had a maniacal dunk at the rim. You got a highlight-worthy block of the jam on the other end from Jared Allen. Caris LeVert was phenomenal. Very, very impactful tonight. George Niang, haven't talked about him tonight. 15 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 6-9 from the field, and most important part, 3-5 from three-point range. George Niang has been really, really, and I mean really good, off this Cavaliers bench as of late. He is not somebody that we could have always said that about in the past, because there are still the contingent of people out there that believe George Niang is not going to see the light of day in a playoff setting. But I told y'all last stream, I talked to George a couple of different times. I've disagreed with him a couple of different times on whether or not he will be in the rotation. But the play that we have seen from him this season, it points to him being in the playoff rotation. Kenny Atkinson trusts George Niang. He played 20 minutes tonight. He is now shooting, he came into tonight shooting 37.9%. I don't think StatMuse has it updated just yet, but you'd have to believe that Niang is approaching that 40% mark once again, where we know he have seen him do it 5 years in, you know, over the course of his career. He's creeping back closer to that. And there's no way, in my opinion, that you could potentially keep him out of the rotation when he is one of your only reserve bigs, right? It's fair to call George Niang a big, I guess. I mean, he plays the bulk of his minutes at the four. I don't really want to know. I don't really know how you want to classify George, but what I do know is that he plays the bulk of his minutes at the four, and he makes them count because he spaces the floor. You put him out there in lineups beside Jared Allen. You put him out there in lineups beside Evan Mobley, and you have the makings, especially with the three-point emergence of Evan Mobley. You have two guys in your front court opposite to you that, you know, that can space. And that's not even including Dean, when Dean's out there as a big-ass wing and looking like the wing that that people want to trade for, right? Some of the best lineups that this Cavaliers team has put together, they feature the likes of some of these guys that you would just not have thought about, right? Like a Dean Wade or a George Niang in terms of spacing. You're getting some really, really good things. There's just not a lot that I can say, man. And I don't want to continue to sound like a broken record, but I will until they give the Cavaliers the respect that they deserve. And as a final point to the lineups, right, the five-man unit of Caris LeVert, George Niang, Donovan Mitchell, Sam Merrill, and Evan Mobley have drilled the third most threes of any lineup the Cavaliers have put out there. They have drilled 31 triples on 68 attempts. That is good for 45.6%. They are a plus 63. That is among the best numbers. That actually is the best number among any five-man group, not factoring tonight's victory, but among any five-man lineup that the Cavaliers have put out there on this season. They have the highest plus-minus total. They've drilled the third most triples on a very, very high percentage at 45.6%. They're doing some big shit out there. Crazy. It is crazy that we are seeing some of the developments from some of the players that a lot of people had already given up on, you know, and it's fair to say that a lot of people have, prior to the season, had given up on George Niang being a proven contributor in the rotation. And he is doing just that. And I believe that he will end up being in the playoff rotation with this type of play. And that is when Isaac Okoro returns. That is with a healthy Max Strus. That is with a healthy Dean Wade. Kenny's got some things to figure out, but it's a good problem to have. And I venture to say, I think that this is probably a good place to leave it at. As I always tell you guys, if you like to reach out to me, you know how you can. It's Cavalier_pod on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and more. If you want to be added to the It's Cavalier Discord chat, you know what to do. Leave a rating, your reviews, and a screenshot of said review to itscavalier53@gmail.com. And I will send you said invite. If you're watching over on X, as I know some of you are, do me a favor. Go over to YouTube. Like the video. Like the stream. Subscribe if you're not a subscriber to the It's Cavalier podcast and hit that notification bell so you don't miss out on a beat. Go Cavs.